Today we're going deep into a very jungle, very DNB problem, how to stack kick weight using resampling workflows in Ableton Live 12. And this is not just about making a kick louder. It's about making it feel heavy, focused and alive inside a fast, busy arrangement. In jungle and drum and bass, the kick has to do a lot. It needs sub-impact, mid-punch, and sometimes that slightly ugly edge that helps it cut through chopped breaks and a serious bass line. So the mindset for this lesson is simple. Build the kick, bounce it, rebuild it, and keep refining until it feels like one powerful instrument. First, choose a kick source that already has something useful in it. That matters a lot. If you start with a great source, the whole process gets easier. You want a kick with a strong fundamental, some punch in the low mids, and a clean enough transient to survive layering. A 909 style kick can work. A clean analog kick can work. Even a kick pulled from a break can work, if it has the right attitude. What you want to avoid is a kick that's already huge and long and messy, unless you specifically want to carve it down. In jungle, tails can get in the way fast. The groove is quick, the bass line is moving, and the kick needs to land without smearing the whole low end. Now set up a drum rack and build three kick chains. Think of each chain as a different job. The first chain is your sub body. This is the foundation. Load the kick into simpler, heap it in one-shot mode, and if the sample length already works, don't force warp on it. Then shape it with EQ8 so you keep the low end clean and stable. Low pass it somewhere around 150 to 200 Hz, and if there's boxiness, carve a little around 250 to 400 Hz. Add utility if you need to keep it centered and controlled. This layer should feel solid, round, and grounded. The second chain is your punch layer. This is the chest hit, the knock, the thing that helps the kick read in the mix. Duplicate the sample, shorten it a touch if needed, and use EQ8 to clean up the sub rumble with a gentle high pass around 30 to 40 Hz. You can give it a small boost around 100 to 140 Hz if it needs more body, and trim mud if it gets cloudy around 250 Hz. Then add drum bus. Not too much, just enough drive to thicken it, maybe a little boom if the kick feels thin, and a touch of crunch if it needs more attitude. The third chain is your grit and attack layer. This is the audible edge, the part that helps the kick survive in a dense mix when the breaks and bass are going hard. Use the same source or a slightly more transient version of it, then hit it with saturator. Push the drive a bit, turn on soft clip, and high pass the layer so it doesn't fight the low end. This layer should live more in the upper body and transient zone. You can add a little drum bus here too if you want extra bite. At this point, listen to the balance inside the rack. This is important. Don't make all three layers equally loud. That usually creates a big blurry mess. Let the sub body lead, let the punch support it, and keep the grit layer lower, just loud enough to read on smaller speakers. The goal is one coherent kick, not three samples arguing with each other. Before you resample, leave yourself some headroom. That's a big one. If you're already slamming the chain and clipping before the bounce, you're baking in problems. Keep the layers peaking below full scale so the transient stays intact. A little space now gives you more control later. Now print the result. Create a new audio track, set it to resampling or route the rack to it, arm the track, and record a single kick hit or a short phrase of repeated kicks. If you want to stay really controlled, capture one isolated kick with silence before and after it. That makes editing easier and gives you more freedom when you start shaping the audio. This is where the workflow gets powerful. Once the layered kick is audio, it stops being just a rack and becomes a sound object you can manipulate in new ways. That's the magic of resampling. You're not only making a kick, you're creating a new source to work from. Take that recorded kick and turn it into three new layers. First, make a clean sub hit. Duplicate the audio clip. Low pass it around 90 to 120 Hz. Keep it mono with utility, and remove any clicky top. This layer is just there to hold the low weight together. Second, make a mid-punch hit. Duplicate the clip again. High pass around 35 to 45 Hz. Emphasize the 90 to 140 Hz range if the kick needs more chest, and cut any mud around 250 to 350 Hz. Add a bit of drum bus or light compression if you want it to feel more assertive. This is the layer that helps the kick speak in the track. Third, make a top texture layer. High pass it more aggressively, maybe 150 to 250 Hz, then add saturator for character. If the style wants it, you can add a little redux for a more digital, gritty edge. This layer is small in the mix, but it can make a massive difference in how the kick cuts through. Now get surgical with the clips. Open them up and check the transient. Is the kick starting exactly where you want it? Is there any little bit of pre-noise? Is the decay too long? Are the layers smearing together or phasing out? In a fast ENB or jungle context, tiny timing issues matter a lot. Even a few samples can change the feel from hard-hitting to soft. Trim any silence before the hit. Use fade handles so you don't create clicks. If the kick is still too long, shorten the tail. If one layer feels late or early, nudge it by a tiny amount until the impact locks in. Often the upper layers can be micro-offset, just a little to make the kick feel either more urgent or a bit thicker. Keep the sub-layer locked if it's already solid. That's usually the anchor. Then do a proper phase check. Solo each layer, then play them together. Listen for hollow low end, disappearing punch, or that strange feeling that the kick gets smaller when all the layers are on. If that happens, check polarity, adjust sample start points, or move a layer a few samples. Phase is one of the biggest reasons stacked kicks fail, so don't skip this step. In stack drum design, less mismatch almost always means more impact. Once the layers are working together, group them and process the stack as a single kick bus. A little EQ cleanup if needed, a bit of saturator for density, and then glue compressor with a light touch. You're not trying to crush the life out of it. You just want to make the layers feel like one object. 2 or 3 dB of gain reduction at most, and keep the low end mono and centered with utility if necessary. At this stage, the kick should feel like a finished instrument, not a pile of samples. A proper composite hit. Now place it in context. This is where jungle and drum and bass really test the sound. Put it against a rolling breakbeat and a bassline. Usually the kick will land on beat 1, but the real trick is making sure it still feels strong when the rest of the rhythm is moving around it. In a dense arrangement, you want the kick to anchor the drop, not fight every other element in the bar. For arrangement, think inversions. A clean version for busy sections. A more saturated version for the drop. Maybe a slightly clipped or dirtier one for transition moments. This is a huge workflow advantage. Instead of endlessly rebuilding the kick, print a few useful options and choose the one that fits the section. That's how you move faster and make stronger decisions. And because this lesson lives in the riser's area, let's connect the same idea to pre-drop energy. You can take the kick, resample it, reverse it, add reverb on ascend, filter it upward with auto filter, and automate the level or pitch so it feels like it's being pulled toward the drop. Then cut hard into the full stacked kick on the downbeat. That creates a very effective jungle-style transition. It's tense, mechanical, and it lands with impact. A good way to practice is to build 3 kick versions from one source. Make one clean and weighty, one punchier and more aggressive, and one grittier clipped for transitions. Print all 3 to audio. Align them on the grid. Toggle the layers and listen for phase issues. Then stack them. Bounce them again, and test them over a 170 to 174 BPM breakbeat with a bass line underneath. If the kick still reads in a crowded mix, you're doing it right. A few final coaching points. Treat the kick stack like a composite instrument, not like a mix problem. If you need endless correction just to make it work, the source may be wrong. Resample when the sound feels almost there, not when every layer is already perfect. Leave headroom before every bounce. Keep the low end mono early. Work in short loops so you can make fast decisions. And print variations as part of the process, because arrangement gets much easier when you already have usable versions to choose from. So the big takeaway is this. In jungle and DNB, weight is often built, bounced, and rebuilt. Resampling is not just a convenience. It's part of the sound design. When you use it intentionally, you get kicks that are harder, tighter, and much more ready to sit inside a fast, aggressive mix. Now go build the stack, print the bounce, and make that kick hit like it means it.